Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Connor Payton, and I'll be your host. Welcome to another episode of The Next 4 Years. I apologize for missing an episode last week. Things have really picked up at work recently, and I've been a little busy with extracurricular activities, so I wasn't able to get an episode out last week, but here we are. I only managed to miss 1 week, and I've recorded quite a few episodes, actually, so we shouldn't be missing any weeks in the near future. I really appreciate the feedback that I've been getting over the last few episodes. It seems like the number of downloads has increased nearly every week over the last few, so I appreciate you listening and hope you continue to do so. If I can just get a small favor for you to go on iTunes and leave a 5-star review, that will really help get the show out to more listeners, and then I'll be able to continue doing this and make more episodes, and we'll be able to make this podcast bigger than it already is. A quick apology, I'm kind of recovering from a bit of a cold, so I might not sound like I normally do on this podcast, but I definitely wanted to still bring you this information. Today's episode is a special one because it is my first time interviewing 2 people on this podcast. I will be talking with Kelsey and Ryan Cardenas, and not only is it my first time interviewing 2 people on the show, it is also my first time interviewing anybody who is married on this podcast. I wanted to interview these 2 because they recently just got married 3 weeks ago at the age of 23. Now, my father did not marry my mother until he was 33. I believe my mom was 29. So this is kind of the idea that I've always had in my head about when it is appropriate to get married. Obviously, I know that people get married earlier than 33 often. But I was really curious to hear their thoughts on the whole topic and to see how things are going. Obviously, they're a young couple who are very much in love with each other. But I thought that would be a great interview to bring to you guys and have them share their thoughts about getting married young and kind of how society treats them and what their thought process is on people who are single like I am in their mid-20s. And I think you'll really get a lot out of this episode. So without further ado, please enjoy this conversation with newlyweds Kelsey and Ryan Cardenas.
This is The Next 4 Years with Connor Payton.
Welcome to another episode of The Next 4 Years, everybody. I am joined by 2 guests this time for the first time ever on this podcast, Ryan and Kelsey Cardenas. How are you guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm really happy to have you guys on this podcast. Not only is this the first time that I'm having 2 guests on this show, but it is the first time I'm ever having 2 married or anybody who's married on this show. And you guys are newlyweds. And so I definitely want to get into that. But of course, my first question is, Ryan, how often are you getting to play golf now that you're married?
About the same. I'm trying to go as much as I can. But it's been kind of hard. I was going to try and go today, but it rained and it was too wet to go. So I'll probably go next week.
You still let him get out there, Kelsey, even though he's got duties?
Yeah, he uses the excuse that he's going to go with, like, my dad or my brother-in-law. And so he's like, oh, well, yeah, your brother-in-law texted me and said he can go now, so we're going to go. Like, I can't say no to family, so obviously I'm going to let him go. So he's smart about it. He knows exactly what to say.
Yeah,
if you come down, we can definitely play.
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely
going to. He uses other people. He's just using you. He doesn't actually want to hang out with you.
No, I do want to hang out.
Hey, no, we'll use each other to get out on the golf course. Any excuse to get out there, absolutely. Well, great. Thanks for doing the show, guys. I want to start off with just talking about how you guys met. So you both attended Texas A&M, correct? Is that where you guys met?
Yes. Yep.
And was that in a class? Who introduced you guys?
So my roommate, Shaquille, was Kelsey's best friend since third grade. And I was rooming with him sophomore year, and we always got lunch together. And he, I guess, randomly brought Kelsey over to our lunch one time, and then she kept on coming. And then Shaquille basically lied to both of us about saying, I said that she was cute and she said that I was cute, and we never said that. We
went
with it, never said it. And
the way I look at it is Shaquille and I had weekly lunch dates, well, pretty much daily lunch dates, and Ryan ruined them. But he says that I ruined his lunch date. So yeah, we'll never know the truth, I guess. But we were definitely lied to because he didn't like me and I didn't like him. But it worked out, I guess.
Isn't that funny kind of how things start off? It's almost like, a little bit of tension and it grows into something big. Well, congratulations on your big day. That was only a couple weeks ago, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was the wedding?
It was in Florence, Texas, which is like 25 minutes south of Killeen. So it wasn't too far. It was nice. It rained, though.
It was at a vineyard, so it was really pretty, but it rained all day long.
I'm sure it didn't, excuse the pun, dampen your spirits throughout the day. That's I'm really happy.
It was on the day, it was kind of annoying, but I feel like we're the type of people that we're just like, whatever, it's okay. And now that it's over, I just laugh about it. Whatever.
Well, that's great. You guys met in college, and you dated for how many years in college?
It was,
I guess, 2.5 years in college.
Yeah, we dated 2.5 years in college, then a year and a half. Was it a year and a half? A year and a half outside of college. No, was it?
I don't know. In college, though, yeah, we started dating like fall of our sophomore year. So we dated basically all of sophomore, junior, and senior year.
You guys were dating in college and out of college, and I've heard that those can really be different in terms of dating when you're dating someone in school and dating someone out of school. Can you guys maybe talk about that a little bit and how maybe the relationship evolved or changed once you didn't have classes and you got into the real world? Because that's kind of what this podcast is about, the adjustment. But you have to adjust the relationship sometimes, and it helps you grow, right?
I think we had a unique experience in college in that he was in the Corps. So when we started dating, already he had like a very strict schedule, and we didn't see each other necessarily as much as like I guess a normal couple would have. So that already kind of made it difficult. And then about 8 months into us dating, well, I guess more than that, he went on a study abroad trip for like the whole fall semester of our junior year. So then we were long distance. And then he came back, we had senior year, and then after we graduated, we were, like, debating where to go. We knew we wanted to go together, and we ended up back in my hometown, and so we decided to move in together, which our families hated, but whatever.
It was cheaper for both of us.
Yeah,
that was after how many years of dating?
I would have probably lived with my parents.
After how many years of dating did you guys move in together?
That was
almost 3.
Yeah, it was about, yeah, it was like, yeah, a little less than 3, mm-hmm, 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. But which I think, I think it was good for us. I have a friend who got married last May, and they had been together almost 8 years, but they never lived together. And so, like, jokingly, Ryan was asking him, like, hey, you have any advice for me before I get married? And he was like, I feel like I should be asking you for advice because you've lived together for so long. Like, at this point, we've lived together almost 2 years. So I think we got, like, the hardships out of the way first before we actually got engaged and got married, because it's hard living together. And he had only ever lived in a dorm. For me, I had lived in, like, apartment complexes and then a duplex. So, like, I knew how to have roommates. I knew how to take out the trash and, like, do all these things. Not that he didn't.
Uh-oh, are you calling him out on not doing
it? He hadn't, like, lived with other people in, like, an actual house in, like, 4 years. So, shut up. You know how to take the trash out of the thing.
I mean, that's a big adjustment to have your first real roommate.
It's kind of like a trial run.
Your first roommate ends up being your fiancé and then wife. That will not be my case, for sure. But that's really great that you guys made that decision to move in together. You said with a little bit of criticism from your parents. How was it having to deal with that? Because that would be something. I'm not sure if my parents would be super happy if I moved in with a significant other. Not that I have one, but just if that ever happened before we were engaged.
So I just, like, my parents, they were the same as Kelsey's. They didn't really agree with it, but the way we explained it to them was just, it's cheaper for us to have one, pay for one place to, for like rent and all that stuff. And we were really close to her parents, so it helped out a little bit that I think we were living together, and they really liked me, so I think that also helped.
That usually helps.
Right? I mean, like, for my family, like, my oldest sister, she, like, moved out at 18 and went to college or whatever, but then she got pregnant at 21, wasn't married, then she got married, obviously, but, like, so she did that. She lived with her man before she got married. My middle sister did it, too. My parents still hated it. I'm pretty sure they lied to my parents for, like, a year saying that he didn't live there, but he really did. So for me, like, it was kind of obvious that it was going to happen with me too, especially because we'd been together for so long before. It was a little bit harder with Ryan's parents because he's the oldest and they were not used to that. But I mean, we're both teachers, so we make literally no money. So we were like, I'm not going to have us separately paying, you know, a couple hundred bucks each for a place when we're going to hang out every night together anyway, so we might as well get a place together. Otherwise, my parents were like, well, you could live with us. I'm like, no, because I would still be at Ryan's house every night, so that would defeat the purpose.
I think that's a very viable reason for people to move in together is finances a lot of the times.
Yeah.
It definitely makes sense, and it's pretty clear why you guys did it, and it's obviously worked out. But not only do you guys live together, you kind of hit on it a little bit there, Kelsey. You guys are both teachers. And you teach at the same school, I believe?
No,
you teach at different schools.
There are four high schools in our district, and we're at two separate ones.
Okay, I was going to say, if you guys were living together and going to school together every day, geez, you know, ever get sick of each other, man?
We teach different subjects, so I feel like it wouldn't be that bad. He's actually kind of considering coming to my school next year, but I think initially that would have maybe been too much to ride to work together every day, and then, like, if we had lunch together, that would have been weird, but
I like having my own time.
Yeah, we like being at different schools, and then, like, the rivalry made it fun, and he was a coach, so I would go to all of his games, and so I think that was fun, being at different schools.
Well, let's start with you, Ryan. You are coaching and teaching. What are you coaching and teaching currently?
I coach cross country and girls basketball, and then I teach world geography, but this was my last year coaching just because going to be really busy next year with some other things, kind of changing career paths and all that. So, but I enjoyed coaching. It was a lot of fun. Got to be around a lot of different and cool people. It was a great learning experience, and kind of helped me develop different qualities for later in life that I would have never gotten in any other career field. Just because, like, I got to deal with, like, teenage girls for basketball. And that was, sometimes can be a nightmare because one second they're just super happy and the next second they're all just.
He comes home and says that he was like,
at each other's throats.
I don't know what's wrong with them. Like, one minute they're really happy and then the next minute they're really angry. And I was like, we've been dating like 3 years. Did you not catch on that that's just how women are? And he's like, but they're just so little. They're 14 and they're like that. And I'm like, yeah, you start them early. He was just
I have a little sister who's still a teenage girl. And so, I do know. That's pretty funny. Did you enjoy coaching those? You said you learned things, but I've always imagined that coaching high school sports would be a lot of fun. You know, I certainly loved playing.
It was a lot of fun, especially like, cross country was a blast just because the cross country kids, they're a different type of kids because it's hard to get people to run in general. And these kids, like, they come out there and that's all they do is just run. So they're very disciplined. They're a different breed of people. I was the assistant and the head coach was really, really cool and got to know him pretty well. And, he kind of helped mentor me along. And then same with the basketball coaches. Like last year, there was the freshman coach. I got along with her really well. She helped me out a lot because she was experienced and like she's done a couple years of coaching already. And then this year I was second year coach. And then we had a first year freshman coach because she left because she had a baby. And it was nice, I was able to mentor this other coach, but I was also able to learn a lot from him just because he's, like, he was in his upper 40s. He's coached before, but he hasn't been like a high school coach. So it was kind of cool working with him.
Absolutely. I've always wanted to coach high school golf or something. I feel like that'd be awesome. After my day job, I'll go over to the golf course with the high school guys. I don't know. I figured that'd be a what a great gig that would be.
Being a golf coach is the life because you get like free green fees and all that absolutely. Stuff. So.
Yeah, I see you rolling your eyes, Kelsey. well, let's go over to you. You are an English teacher, correct? Mm-hmm. And for the listeners who are not Facebook friends with Kelsey, she is a wonderful follow if you've ever wanted to get inside the mind of a high school teacher. Her Facebook posts are hysterical. So I recommend you sending her a friend request if she's kind enough to accept it. But Kelsey, how are you enjoying that? You are in teaching high school English, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I always tease Ryan that his job is way easier than mine because he doesn't teach a subject that's tested. And last year, I just taught English 1, which is freshman. But this year, I'm added on English 2. So out of the 5 standardized tests that kids take in high school, I teach 2 of those subjects. So there's a lot of pressure, a lot of comparison of scores, and for my sophomores, I teach special ed students, so that adds another level of complexity and dealing with like having to keep up with their accommodations and dealing with the special education department in general, and then also on top of that, you always have to make sure that they are getting what they need, because then when they take the test, if they get like a bad score for whatever reason, they have to go back and say like, did they get everything that they should have gotten? Is there a reason that they didn't do well? Or is it just because, you know, they were lazy and didn't want to pass the test? So I think that, I mean, in English in general is a hard subject anyway, but just the fact that they have to take those 2 standardized tests and they're one year after the other, which you don't have to do in any other subject in high school. It's just, it's real tough for those kids. And I always tell people that English is hard because they come in and you have to reverse basically 14 to 15 years of bad grammar in 9 months. You don't do that in algebra. They haven't been learning bad algebra their entire life. They haven't been learning bad biology their whole life. Maybe they come in saying, I'm not good at math, or I'm not good at biology, but mine come in and say, I'm not good at English. And I'm like, but you speak English. Not very well, some of them, but it's still like, that's your language that you speak, and they just, writing is tough. Reading, some of them have never finished an entire book in their whole life. And so it's my job to basically reverse all of that negative, like all those negative ideas that they have about English in a span of 9 months. And it's impossible.
Well, that's just kind of a statement about how society is nowadays, right?
Yeah.
That we don't encourage proper grammar or English. Don't encourage reading books so much anymore, and that's where, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy the good old video game myself, but I do love reading books as well, and I think that's really important to instill in children these days, and you're not teaching children per se, but you're teaching people who are about to enter the real world, of, you know, after college, and so it's really important to establish that really young, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I've like gone to a lot of like professional development conferences, and they always say how like kids just, they don't want to read. We don't know what to do. They don't have this love for reading. And I mean, the kids that they're not reading at home, they don't have the books, especially where I teach. It's like low income poverty level. I mean, some of them, they don't have any books at home, which I mean, makes me really sad because I grew up having not like a Beauty and the Beast library, but I mean like a bookcase with books that I read on my own. And then when the Kindle came out and you could get that on your phone and on your iPad, I mean, I was buying books left and right, and I've always had a book near me that I'm reading. I mean, my mom has like 4 books at one time that she's reading, and depending on her mood, she'll pick one up and read 3 or 4 chapters. So I think a lot of it starts at home. And so, I mean, to put that pressure on me, I'm 23 years old, and some of these kids are 17, 18 years old. Like, I'm not that much older than they are. I could be their older sister. So to look at them and say, like, this is your parents' job. Why am I doing something that your parents should have done when you were 3, 4 years old? It's, I think it also goes along with like the low income, like I said, because, you know, my mom was home. She was able to give me those books. She was able to read with me. She was able to read me a bedtime story.
Establish that relationship when you're young.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I, like I said earlier, like you're trying to reverse years and years of this bad practice, and you can't do it, because if a 3-year-old doesn't love to read, then an 8-year-old's not going to love to read, and a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. And then before you know it, they're adults and they're in the real world and nobody wants to read anything.
Right. And by the time they get to you in high school,
it's just fine. And you read your
Twitter feed.
Yeah. Twitter and all that stuff. But you don't want to read like a 3-paragraph article. You can't do that. And they don't want to have it, especially if they have to think real hard about the article. Oh, they can't do it. They just quit immediately.
That is so interesting that kids would rather read off their Twitter feed. And I'm, you know, a big culprit of that as well. I love to get articles and news off Twitter more than anywhere else, really, because that's where news breaks faster than anywhere else. And mm-hmm. so I understand why people do it. But you do have to establish that base. And by the time they get to you at the high school level, it's tough to establish that love of reading at a later age. You don't see it happen very often.
Yeah.
So I totally get where you have a really tough job of doing that. But to move on, I definitely want to talk about, you guys got married at a young age. Kelsey, you're 23. Ryan, how old are you?
23.
Yep, 23. So yeah, you guys are very young. I think that nowadays in society, we've kind of had a flow of how marriages kind of worked in terms of ages throughout the years. I would say our grandparents' generation did get married very young, and that was a common thing. I would say our parents' generation was a little bit older, and now our generation mm-hmm. is getting married younger, I think, again. And it's not incredibly rare, but I still do think that you guys did get married at a young age, right out of college. How have you guys kind of tackled facing society and maybe some of the criticisms or pressures that society places on a young marriage? Or
I mean, I guess for us, it was just like we were already living together, and like we were, pretty financially stable. I guess for
as financially stable as you can be at
23. And we were just like, might as well get married now, because I mean, both love each other, both were ready to like, I guess, take the next step of the relationship, even though not really much has changed, I guess, since we got married, except besides that
I mean, it's been like 3 weeks, so we'll let you know if anything changed drastically.
But like the biggest thing that's, I think, changed is her last name.
Yeah.
No longer a Moore. Yeah. So.
Right.
And I think like you said about like our relationship being in college and then out of college, I think that, I mean, we met when we were 19. So even within those 5 years that it's been since then, we've changed a lot, and we've changed together. And that's what a lot of people say about getting married young, is that like, I'm going to change anyway, so I might as well change with that person. And a lot of people say, well, what if you change so much that you don't like each other anymore? And I'm like, well, I don't plan on being the same when I'm 25 and when I'm 40 anyway. So whoever you're with, you're going to change a lot. But I think for us, it just, like you said, it made sense. And I mean, we were like he's saying, you know, our lives are probably going to change in the next couple of years, and we'll probably move away from where we are right now. And so we wanted to get married and establish like that married life together before we moved off or changed jobs or did anything crazy and drastic like that. Just, I mean, really, like, not paperwork wise, but just like logistically, we were like, okay, we know we want to get married, let's do it now. While I'm home, I could plan the wedding when I was around my family before anything else changes. And then, you know, from there, we can start our married life and go off and do whatever we wanted to do.
I think that that is a really smart move to realize where you were logistically in your lives, living together near your family, that it was a good time. In articles that I've read about getting married young or old, it's never the perfect time to get married. There's never a perfect time. And I think you two who have gone through it can totally agree with that. That if you say, well, it'll be better when I'm 30, it's still not going to be perfect when you're 30, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of, if you know you're with the right person, you got to do it. But I guess that's where my question was. You guys are very young, and at age 23, and I've heard comedians and people joke about this and say, hey, you got married young, I'm, you know, that was a smart decision. I'm sure you wouldn't have met anyone interesting in your 20s or 30s, right? How do you know when you've really met the right person? I know that's a really, really deep question about love, right? And it's, I'm asking because I haven't met my soulmate. And I've even talked to my parents about this, saying, say I met my soulmate tomorrow, that's 2 to 3 years of dating and then a year of engagement. So I'm still about 4 years away. That takes me to 28, 29. How do you know when, like, yep, this is it, this is right?
I would say that I definitely, when I met Ryan, I had just kind of sworn off relationships. I was in a relationship my freshman year. It was long distance with a guy who, like, was back home in my hometown. And I, you know, that ended badly. And so that summer, I just kind of was like, I'm going to do me, whatever. Boys suck. Tried to kind of date this guy. It lasted like a week and then we were done. And so I was like, all right, sophomore year, it's all about me. I don't want to meet anybody. I don't want to talk to any boys. And then like 2 weeks later, I met Ryan. And at first, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And I was like, whatever, we're just having lunch. And then, like we said, you know, our friend lied to us. And so he was like, well, Ryan thinks you're cute. And I was like, okay, but I still, you know, like, I know I'm going to see him again because I've been hanging out with our mutual friend so much. So I was like, it's not like I'm never going to see this guy again. So we'll just see what happens. And then I think we just started hanging out more and we really liked each other. Yeah, and
kind of hit it off.
And like I said, I compared him to my old relationship, obviously, because that's what you do. And personally, I was like, he's way different. You know, he came from a similar background, I think, and we had a lot in common. And obviously, we both were friends with the same type of people. So that worked out really well. And I think it was just like when I met him, I didn't think like, oh, I'm going to marry this guy. But it was definitely different. And I could tell that. And I was 19 and I was not like, oh, I just met my husband. Woohoo. But I mean, I'm a girl, so I know it was way different for me than it was for him. But my friends were like, oh my gosh, he's so sweet and he's so cute. And I was like, yeah, he is. This is great. It's fun, whatever. He looked really good in uniform, so I was all for it. It was fun with me. And then I think, like, the next year we had the long distance, like I said, which was extremely tough. And we, like, at times were like, is this even worth it? You know, this is stupid. I was still, like, at A&M in college, and I was like, you know, why am I wasting my time with not wasting my time? But, you know, we both were just kind of like, are we holding each other back? You know, he was living it up in Europe and I felt guilty. Like, am I holding him back from maybe doing things that he would want to do? And then after we got through that, it was like, okay, well, we got through that. We can pretty much do anything. And then all of a sudden it was senior year and we're making all these crazy life decisions. And we got through that together and then we moved in together. And it just kind of got to that point where we had changed together and we both were like, yeah, I could see myself being with you for the rest of my life. I'd be okay with that. And we're just really comfortable just okay around each other.
you'd be fine. Okay. You'd be cool.
I'm totally thrilled about it.
I think you hit it on the head right there saying that you guys changed together. And that might be the biggest sign, right? That you do have that connection that you could spend the rest of your lives. Because like you said earlier in this podcast, you're not planning on being the same person when you're 25 and 40, right? And so if you're able to change with your significant other, and Ryan, you said Ryan was changing too, that is a big sign that you can probably continue that throughout the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And I think also a lot of people, especially people that get out of college and then establish a career, it's hard because they can't see themselves being like, yeah, I would totally give up this career if I found the right person, which I'm a sucker for The Bachelor. So I just watched the entire season. And that's one of the issues that they face at the end is like, I have this career and I went on The Bachelor basically to get famous. So I met this guy. Am I really, you know, and that the winners, she ended up being like, do I really want to give up my job? Especially because she lives in a different country for this guy that I just met. And I think if you can say yes, like if right now Ryan got a different job and we had to move to Alaska, I would totally quit my job. And that would be completely fine with me. And other way around, he would have no problem quitting his job and golfing every single day if it meant that that's what he got to
do. Well, I wouldn't either.
You know, like, you're both okay sacrificing and giving things up for the other person. And I think that's one of the things that young people our age who do have those careers right outside of college struggle with, because you work so hard to establish that career and establish that lifestyle that you have. and then somebody comes along and just kind of flips everything upside down, and you're like, are they worth it? You kind of just weigh the options, like, okay, I don't know if I really want to do this. Is it really worth it for just a relationship? And I mean, that's kind of the question that you have to ask yourself is, would I give everything up for this person if that's what it took?
To follow up with that, a philosophy that I've kind of always had was, I've always thought that I would know if it was the right person if I wanted to have a child with that person, right? And, you know, maybe not immediately, but I think that would be a pretty good sign that that is the mm-hmm. right person for me, that I was ready to raise a child. But I think at the same time, that's made me nervous to, you know, get too deep into a relationship ever, because I wasn't ready to have a child ever. And so I think that maybe has stopped me from going deeper into a relationship where I might get to the point, because I haven't ever been close to getting married. I've had serious relationships, but I haven't been close to that stage. What would you say to someone like me, I guess, that was nervous about marrying someone when I wasn't ready to have a child?
If you weren't ready, I mean, we're not ready to have a child yet.
You're not going to drop that news on this podcast. I can't break the news that you guys are going to have a kid or anything. No, I'm not.
That's not going to happen for me.
Oh, I'd get so many hits. Come on.
I've had baby fever for a long time, but I definitely don't want to have my own child. I want my friends to have kids, but I don't want to have my own yet.
Like, the way we're looking at it was, we're going to enjoy, like, our married life, like, or just us before we have another, like, another rascal running around, little rascal running around. Because, like, we want to do a lot of things with just us as, like, a married couple. Like, we want to travel a lot. We want to experience different things. We want to work just us two, and then come home just us two and just cook dinner, go out to a movie. Yeah, just hang out with our dog. And, I mean, if you find the right person, you should be able to do whatever you want with them whenever you want. Like, travel, go to a movie. If y'all like to work out, go work out together. Go to, like, sporting events if you like that. Do whatever, like, that y'all enjoyed. And just do a lot of that before you actually have a kid. Because once you have a kid, it's just nonstop from what I hear. Just constantly going.
Well, you guys do have a dog together.
Like, looking at somebody and saying, you know, like, do I want to have a kid with them? I think it was easy for me because I have nephews. So when I met Ryan, my nephews were
young,
2 and 4 maybe, or even younger than that. So, like, he got to be their uncle. And I think seeing him be around those kids, that kind of helped out a little bit. Just, like, I mean, every girl pretty much looks at a guy and is like, would he be a good dad? And then, like, whenever you see a guy playing with kids, your ovaries explode and you're just like, oh, it's the cutest thing ever. So I think girls already automatically imagine that. And I don't know about guys how often they think about having kids with girls. But for me, I mean, from the very beginning, he was young. He really had never been around kids, I would say, like that much.
Yeah.
And never had to interact with the same kid over and over and over again. So it kind of pushed him out of his comfort zone. And luckily, they're boys, so it was really easy for him to connect with him. Like, if it had been girls and they had been like, let me put makeup on you, he would have been like, what?
And then I
was... But, like, playing...
Well, I'm sure you still totally would have done it, right?
Sports together, and, I mean, so, like, I think seeing that, it helped a lot, because I was like, okay, I can have a kid with him, you know, he'd be... I already know, like, what kind of dad he would be, just seeing him, like, take care of them and kind of just, like, see the relationship that they had together.
So, and then I worked at a summer camp for 2 years, and I was with, like, 7 and 8 year olds for, I don't know, like, 10 weeks, and that was really cool, just, like, being around them. And that was, you started to feel like it was like a father like role, just being around these, like, 8 to 13, like, 7 year olds, and just hanging out with them, getting to know them, and just being, like, their role model for the whole summer. So that kind of made me think about that, but I was just like, with you, yeah.
right.
But it was later down the road, because I know we're still not ready to have a kid, but I mean, you're never ready to have a kid until it happens, until you start trying, or
or this is a surprise.
Well, you guys do have a dog, and I've always heard that a dog can be tougher than a child because a baby, you can put a diaper on a baby, and you can't put one on a dog, right?
Yeah. So. And I think that also helps.
I'm of course kidding. I'm not trying to compare the two at all, but.
Like just splitting responsibilities with the dog, and I know like when people who have kids hear other people say, "This is my fur child," they're like, "No, you have no idea what you're doing. That is not a baby." But I do think that it helps us as a couple because
it's like a starter kit.
Yeah, like we share those responsibilities, and you have to remember to feed the animal and take care of the animal, which it's like Ryan didn't grow up with pets at all, so his very first pet was the dog that we have together. And so it's been fun watching him, like, develop a relationship with her. And, I mean, like, he's in love with her, and it's adorable. And so I think that...
She loves me more.
That taught him, like, how to take care of a pet and then, like, also how to take care of humans. For me, I grew up with dogs, so, like, I was always used to having them around. So it's not a big deal to me. But, I mean, it's a very, very small percentage of what you're going to deal with as, like, parents of a real human baby. But I think that did help a little bit. And we got our dog... like as soon as we moved in together. So we've never lived together without a dog. It was just, I mean, she kind of fell into our laps because she was going to be like given to the pound if nobody took her. And so we took her in, and I mean, totally worth it. We don't regret anything, but I mean, I wouldn't suggest getting an animal as soon as you move in with somebody, because that was really, really hard having to do everything, but we survived. So
or having a child as soon as you move in.
From each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
During that time.
It sounds like you guys were really able to get a good picture of what kind of parent the other would be before you got married. And even though you aren't at that stage where you are going to be parents, you know, anytime soon, that you still have that general idea and picture. And so that mm-hmm. is important to keep in mind when you're going to marry someone and say, hey, I'm not ready now. I might not be ready in 2 years, but 5, 6, 7 years down the road when I am going to have a child, I could see that you're going to be a good parent, right? And that is very important to see in someone else. Now, I've grown up. My dad was 33 when he married my mom. I think my mom was 29. And so my parents were a little older when they got married. What would you say to, I guess, someone like me who's been raised to kind of think like, oh, that's when you get married? And so I guess that's been another reason why I've been a little hesitant to get really deep into a relationship where I might be at that stage to get married. You know, it's almost a little nerve-wracking for me to get too close. Kind of. I'm saying I'm 24, right? If I got married, you know, next year, that's 8 years sooner than my father did. And my parents have been happily married for 26 years now. And so what would you say to that?
I think it's hard because, like, both of our parents got married immediately after college, just like we did. Well, I mean, I guess we waited a little longer. Like, my parents got married on a Saturday, and then the next Saturday, or I mean, they graduated college on a Saturday. The next Saturday, they got married. And then the next Saturday, they had moved to Georgia because my dad was in the Army. So they did it, like, immediately after. And then Ryan's
my parents did the same thing because my dad was in the Air Force. So, but I mean, I think it just depends on the person because, I mean, you can enjoy your single life or just dates different people until you find the right one. I mean, there's no right way to do it, but I mean, it's just whatever works for you. I mean, you may find your soulmate tomorrow, or you may find her in 5 years, but it'll happen. It's just, you gotta wait.
Ryan's so laid back. He's like, it's whatever. You're gonna have a great life. Like, my middle sister got married when she was 27. She met him when they were, I can't even count now, 25 maybe. And so, like, she spent all of college, like, not with her now husband, and then a couple years after that. And then they ended up meeting, and they, like, took it real slow at first. And then, I mean, they got married. Well, I guess not. They got married like 4 years into their relationship, but she was older. And so at first, you know, we were like, oh, you know, they're going to get married real quick, because I feel like I see that a lot with older couples. Like, when you know, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's 37, and she met her husband when they were 32, maybe. They got engaged like a year later, got married a year after that, and that was 2 years ago, and now they're pregnant with their first kid. So, like, at times she says, like, I wish I had met him earlier so that we could have enjoyed our life together, because she wanted to have kids as soon as possible. Not as soon as possible, but, like, she didn't want to wait until they were married 10 years to have kids, because she was like, I mean, I'm already a high-risk pregnancy being 35, 36 years old. So she wanted to start having kids with him. But, I mean, I think they're perfect the way they are. And meeting at 32, 33 didn't change anything about them. She had a lot of fun years before, which sometimes when I talk to her, I get jealous, because she would, like, go to Panama with her girlfriends, and they would take trips all the time. They went to Thailand, and she took all these crazy trips with her girlfriends, like,
throughout
from
her
age
20s, 22
to, like, 30 before she met him. And, I mean, that's, it's just, like, yeah, I'm still going to travel. It's just going to be with Ryan, and I can still travel with my girlfriends if I want. But
it's just
really
going to be with Ryan.
Like, whatever you do, whenever you do it, it's perfect for you. And, I mean, a lot of people do judge people who get married young, but a lot of people do judge people who get married older.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever.
Yeah,
if you get married old later and you have kids later, that means you're going to have the kids for a lot when you're older, too, so...
Ryan's trying to get the kids out of the house as soon as possible.
Oh, trust me, my dad loves to remind all of his children all the time that he still has 7 years of college tuition left to pay. Because my youngest sister's a junior in high school, so she's not there yet. But yeah, they're getting there. I think I do. I'm not as, I guess, laid back as you about it all, Ryan, in terms of I'm sure it'll work out or whatever. I do enjoy being single, and so I'm not really worried about anything, and if I ever do want to get married, I'll probably be able to do it someday. It's not something I really think about a whole lot in my life right now. As any single person does, I do have those days where I'm like, I might be single and lonely forever, and I could probably deal with that. But it's a normal thought that every single person and the listeners will vouch for me on that one. But I think that's great that you kind of, like both of you have said throughout this show, that it's all about the situation you're in and the person you meet. It's not, there's no formula to love and marriage, right? It's very situational, and there's no perfect time. You meet the right person, and if it's at a good time in your life, then that is when you should get married. And you shouldn't necessarily consider too many factors into it about children and things like that. It's you got to do what's right for you in the moment a lot of the time. So that's reassuring for someone like me that I'm not going to be married young, because I'm just nowhere near that in my life right now, but mostly because I don't have a girlfriend, so there's no one for me to marry. But that is reassuring for me to take into account. Now, I have a few more general questions for you guys, not necessarily specific, but I ask all my listeners these just to kind of get some young adult stuff. So what do you guys do together in your free time?
We like to sit around and watch Netflix.
We're so boring.
Sometimes.
So you guys are an old couple.
Every once in a while. I mean, like, and being a teacher, it's awesome because we get to travel. Like, right now we have a road trip planned through like the Midwest, going all the way up to Minnesota. And then we're also going to Disney World over the summer. And then we're going to make little small trips to San Antonio, like visit grandparents and then visit her family in East Texas. Probably go to some Rangers games. I mean, we just like to, anytime we have a chance to go travel, like she's going to Nashville for a bachelorette party. And then I'm going to,
LBJ.
LBJ.
For the bachelor party.
And then.
I would say traveling. Like weeknights, when we get home from work, we're just dead tired, which is another way that we know we're not ready to become parents.
We go work out.
Yeah, that too. He took a spin class with me last week, so that was fun.
Well, how'd you like it? I've done it. I've done spin a few times.
It was fun.
He was sweating a lot.
Yeah. Probably the most I've ever sweat. But it was a lot of fun.
And my family's around the area, so we hang out with my family a lot. Like, two Fridays ago, my youngest nephew spent the night with us, kind of like a alone time thing that he did with us. So then my oldest nephew got jealous. So this past Friday, he spent the night with us, and we took them each to go see the Power Rangers movie. So, like, we enjoy being aunt and uncle to them and hanging out with them. And they have baseball games and soccer games, so we go to that and spend time with, you know, my other sister and her husband and then my parents. So I think family time is important to us. And then also
traveling. Then we have our – we have our own separate things that we like to do. Like, I like to golf, go for runs, and Kelsey likes to sell her lip scents and all that stuff.
And get my nails done. You make me sound so superficial. And I have a lot of girlfriends in the area because I'm from here. So, like, I have a lot of friends, like, that I hang out with and stuff. So, I mean, we sound really lame, but I think we're fine. We're not, like, the most exciting people. And we also don't live in a really exciting area, so... it's not like you can just go out every Friday night and have a good time.
We usually have a lot of friends over, like, on the weekends. Like, whenever, like, around Christmas, New Year's Eve. Like, we always try and get together with a lot of friends when they come into town.
Yeah.
It sounds like, even though you guys are married and young, you still have a good balance between doing some married things and doing some young, fun things, though, right? You gotta still
and that's so important. Experience your 20s. Otherwise, like, I could not imagine spending all of my time with him. No offense, but some people are like that.
I like
and
to have my time.
They just spend every waking moment together, and I don't understand that. And also, like, even in high school, we would make fun of those girls who would be like, I can't come hang out Friday. I'm going to be on a date with my boyfriend. We're like, ew, you see him every single day. Like, you can't leave him for 5 hours to come hang out with us. That's ridiculous. And I think also, you know, living together before we got married, that helped too, because they'd be like, come hang out. I'm like, okay, I live with him. I'm going to see him when I get home. I'll be fine. Like, I'm not going to miss him too much. So having our own things, it's fun because I don't want to spend all of my time with just him, obviously. So I spend time with my family and my girlfriends, and we do our own stuff. We have our work friends that we like to hang out with, so... we definitely have good separate lives as well as the one that we have together.
I think that's really important to have. I definitely agree with that. I think that's very important to have in a relationship, to have time apart, to do your own things and, you know, time to relax and whatever that is. Me time, you know, we call it. Mm-hmm. But I'm really interested to hear what the listeners are going to say about that, because I agree with you, Kelsey, that a lot of people in relationships do just want to spend 100% of the time with the other person. And so I'm going to be interested to hear what the listeners say about that.
Same side boothers.
Right.
We hate those people that sit on the same side of a booth at the restaurants.
Oh,
like, you really couldn't sit across from each other for like 1 hour. You could not touch each other. That's ridiculous.
Well, if you're not in a booth, if you're in the center of the dining room at a table, I think usually sitting at like a right angle is fine, right? That's a
plan
enough, right?
Yeah.
When I go on dates, that's what I try to do at least.
You're close, but not too close, but not so far away that you look like you don't like each other. But the booth thing kills us every time. Like, why would you want to keep looking over? Like, I want to just eat and keep my face forward. But maybe it's those dates where the girl doesn't want to eat in front of the guy. I don't have that problem, but some people do.
I guess it's easier to whisper and gossip about other people in the restaurant if you sit next to each other, right?
We do that, too. We love people watching. So, yeah. But we do it out loud. We don't care if people hear.
Yeah, that's great. This is a fun one. What would you do if you won the lottery tomorrow?
We'd probably go to Australia and New Zealand.
Well, say it was more money than you can spend, like $100 million, right? You get to take your vacation, but
I'll say what I would do.
What lifestyle changes would you make?
We'd probably maybe buy a house and maybe pay off our cars, or even get a better car. I don't know. Yeah, probably get a better car.
I've thought about this like so many times before. I had a plan.
I would get new golf clubs. And the house would obviously be like, it would be on a golf course, so I would have a membership there and buy myself a little golf cart.
You could buy the golf course.
No, I don't want to buy a golf course.
Nah, you don't want to have to maintain that. Maybe just be a trustee on the board.
You would pay people to maintain it.
I don't know. I'd want to work because I'd want to stay busy. But, I mean, I would buy her some nice things, buy myself some nice things. I don't know, just...
I know what I would do. If it was, like, an extreme amount of money, my parents have been trying to get out of their house and move. So I would definitely buy them land and build them whatever house I wanted, give some money to my sisters, set up a college fund for my nephews, set up college funds for whatever kids we did or didn't have at the time.
I would do all of this too.
Donate a buttload of money. I would probably give a lot of it to the district we work in right now, just because I feel like one of their biggest issues is that they claim to not have enough money. And so I would make sure that all the teachers got a raise. I probably wouldn't keep teaching just because, just no, if I didn't have to, I probably wouldn't.
So it's not a passion of yours.
Do what?
Teaching's not necessarily a passion of yours.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, like, I've wanted to be a teacher since I was 6 years old, but I think where I work right now, it's so hard that, I mean, I would want to keep teaching in some capacity, but I also, I mean, if we had that much money, I don't think we'd live here, so I definitely wouldn't be able to keep my job here. We'd probably want to go somewhere else, or maybe be that family that, like, quit their jobs and then started traveling the world. That would probably be what we would do. That would be goals right there. And we've also talked about, like, moving to another country and teaching English there. So, I mean, we could potentially, you know, travel to other countries and keep teaching and keep working with people, because I do love teaching people, but probably wouldn't stay in this area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And buy lots of nail polish and handbags.
What would you guys write a book on outside of your career? It can't be career related. We'll start with you, Ryan.
I don't know. I don't really like to write, so.
He'd make me write it.
Okay, what would you, I guess, I don't know, record a podcast on or.
I would probably do a podcast maybe on sports. I would love to do like kind of what you want to do, be like a sports broadcaster.
Sure.
Work for ESPN, like do something like that. That'd be awesome, just because I love watching sports, especially like anytime there's something big on, like right now the Final Four, watch both the games last night, and then I guess the girls game's going on right now.
Right.
But anything to do dealing with sports, baseball, basketball or football would be amazing. I'd even do something about golf, just because I like golf. Like I would.
Oh, I love watching golf.
I enjoy watching golf. Yeah. Like I would. I'm proud to say that I like to watch golf.
Oh, absolutely. No, no shame.
It's fun to like learn
things
by watching them. So, either write a book on sports or just do a podcast on sports, or yeah, probably do something like that.
How about you, Kelsey?
I've actually thought about starting a blog, but it would be career related, because, like you said, I have. To you guys, it's funny, all the Facebook posts that I have, but to me, it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe that actually just came out of a kid's mouth. So a lot of people have said, like, you need to start a blog. You need to write a book about all the things that you've, like, heard through teaching. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I read a lot of
blogs. What are you listening to right now?
I'm listening to Ashley Iaconetti from The Bachelor. She has a podcast called I Don't Get It.
Oh, geez.
It's actually, like, not that entertaining, but I just can't get enough of it. And I like listening to podcasts on my way to work, even though my commute is like 7 minutes. But like I was listening to the Bachelor podcast, like a bunch of like Bachelor related podcasts, and now that it's over, I found something new. So I think just them talking about like life in general, I think that hearing that you're not alone and hearing that you're not the only one who thinks a certain way is really comforting. And I mean, a lot of people like, oh, millennials are just so full of themselves. They love to talk about themselves all the time. But life is hard and adulting sucks. So it's nice to hear somebody else being like, hey, I know that it sucks too. It sucks for everybody. You're not the only one that thinks that way. And I just think talking in general, I love to talk. I love to write.
That's why I started this podcast, right? Because I needed to hear it myself that you know, I'm not alone out here in these thoughts that I have about, you know, I loved college so much. It was the best 4 years of my life. And so that's why it's really important for me to have this podcast, so I can have other people on to kind of tell me, like, you know, Connor, you're not alone in your thoughts, right? That's,
yeah.
You know, and then I'm able to get this information out to listeners because, you know, I did feel alone at first, and so this has really helped me realize, like, oh, man, everybody feels this way. No matter what kind of stage they really are in their life, everyone experiences this. So I think that would be a good one to have, and I think you should start a blog. I really do. I did kind of make a joke about your Facebook post, but they are very educating and educational and enlightening. So I think that'd be really popular. For my
one wish with that is that it would get popular enough that, like, and this is such a nerdy, like, teacher thing for me to say, but it would get popular enough that legislators would see it and read it and maybe understand some of the issues that we go through and see, you know, like, yes, I'm doing it in a funny way, but these are the issues that teachers face every single day. And it's not just my problem. It's not my school's problem. It's society's problem. And if you're not a teacher, you should still care about what's going on in our schools, because when these kids graduate, they become your employees and they become those people who serve you at the restaurants and are working with you in retail and are working in those business related communities. So, you know, like, yeah, when they're 14, it's my problem, but when they're 18 to 65, that's your issue. So I just think I would want people to read it and see that it's not just something that's, oh, funny 14-year-old, like, it's actually stuff that we need to care about.
I think that that'd be great. I hope you do start that. What do you wish you knew upon graduation that you know now? It could be career related, it could be real life related, it could be relationship related, whatever.
I guess mine is kind of like female related, but I have a lot of female friends that have been going through a lot of like pregnancy issues and fertility issues, and I had no idea that these things were as common as they are, and it's kind of scary. Like, we've talked about when we decide to have kids one day, like, it could not happen in 2 months. It could take years for me to get pregnant, or it could not ever happen. And I think that was a shock to me, just how common it actually was. I mean, I know so many people who have had pregnancy complications, and then when they have their children, there are problems with those kids. So I guess graduating, you just kind of think that you can do whatever, and that, like, I mean, and you can, obviously you can do whatever you set your mind to, but I think as a woman, it's really important to know that there are those issues out there, but that you're not alone. And that, I mean, especially with a lot of stuff that's been going on lately and just like the way that feminism is perceived, I guess that in college, you're kind of in a bubble. And especially going to A&M, it's such a conservative school. And being a blonde, white, Christian, straight female, I did not have any problems whatsoever. So I just kind of was like living life. And yeah, I totally was aware of my surroundings, and I was aware of the type of friends that I have and the life that they had to lead, but it didn't really affect me. So I think when you graduate, it's kind of like a slap in the face that, like, life is not as great and perfect as you thought it was going to be. So I think it maybe would have helped going into my career field and just going into the adult world in general, knowing that it sucks and it's really hard, but, you know, there are people around you to help out and just kind of like ways to get through it that I necessarily didn't even think about when I was like immediately post graduation. That was a really deep answer, and I'm sorry
for
that.
No, fantastic. I think that's a great one. I've had other people say taxes are more than I thought they would.
I would probably say
that's the least of my worries.
How expensive it is to like start off, like all the down payments, because I didn't have to worry about that with like living on campus in like a dorm and all that. Didn't have to pay utilities and all that stuff, or security deposits for the house you're gonna rent, paying your first payment for like every single bill, just that way you get started off. But and, like, all the furniture you have to get, TV.
We got lucky with furniture because pretty much our entire house was furnished by family, like passing stuff down to us. So I mean, I think a year in, we had to purchase our first piece of furniture, and it wasn't even a necessity. It was just kind of like, oh, this chair at a garage sale, let's buy it for $50. So, I mean, we didn't really have to face, money-wise, we didn't have to face those issues, but just in general, like, logistics, I think is what he means, too, is just,
right,
like, figuring out everything, making sure that you keep track of everything, and paying bills on time, and paying them to the right person, and making sure you have enough money to pay the bills. That was, like,
it's stuff you don't think about in college, and you really have to once you graduate.
Yeah.
Right?
Even in college, like, yeah, I lived in a duplex where I had to pay rent and stuff, but like my parents paid my rent, so that was easy. My mom was the one who mailed the check. And then as far as like our electricity and stuff, like one of my roommates had the electricity bill come to her. So she would just come up and be like, hey, give me $40. Then my other roommate was in charge of like internet and cable. So she would walk up to me and say, hey, give me blah, blah, blah amount of money. So I didn't even have to deal with that kind of stuff. So, I mean, after like once we moved in together, we both were like, how does this work?
Right.
This is really hard.
Right.
And I mean, like everybody says, like, I wish you had a class like that in high school, like life 101. But then I also realized like that was kind of my parents' fault that they could have been like, hey, so one day you're going to have to deal with all this stuff. And this is kind of how it works. But then again, I mean, nothing can really prepare you. So I think, you know, just diving in head first, whatever, you know, sink or swim, you got to figure it out anyway. So I think we did a pretty good job. And we had my parents there to help anyway. They literally were like half a mile away from our first place. So granted, we had a ton of help. It wasn't really hard for us, but just kind of figuring everything out was like a shock. There's just a lot.
I totally agree. I had those exact same thoughts. Just the cost of living is so much higher than you realize in college. It's not even the price of everything. It's just you don't take into account how many things you have to pay for to survive. It's not just rent and food, which is basically what college was. Thank you so much, guys. I only have one last question. It's more of a request. What kind of advice could you give someone like me, who is single in terms of finding the right person? Because I think I want to get married someday. I'm at the age where I'm not positive, that'll be something that I want to do, someday. And maybe that's going to totally turn off all of the women who listen to this podcast forever who hear that from me. But what advice would you say to someone who is, I guess, looking for that person and hasn't quite found them yet?
Okay. This is totally cliche, but I would say be yourself, because I think being – and not like the cheesy be yourself, but like actually be 100% authentically you – otherwise, you're kind of wasting your own time and wasting everybody else's time, because I have a lot of friends who are in relationships or have been in relationships that just completely waste their time. And if you're the type of person who never wants to get married, then okay, be in a crappy relationship. That's your fault. But if you want to get married one day at all, if you have even 2% in you that wants to be in a committed relationship that you take seriously, do not waste your time with somebody who is not going to give you the time of day at all. I know so many girls who just kind of fall into, and I mean guys too, but I know a lot of women that are my friends that just fall into these lame relationships, and they think that they don't deserve any better because they've never had anything better. And I'm like, you're 24 years old. You really think that this is the best you can get? Yeah, we got married young, and yeah, I mean, at age 19, I met the guy that I knew I was like, that I am going to spend the rest of my life with, but that doesn't mean that you at 24 have to be with the person that you're going to be with forever right now. Because you, I mean, what's, you know, a year of being in a crappy relationship and then deciding it's not for you and then trying to move on when you potentially could spend forever with that person and hate your life. So I think, yeah, if you, I mean, if you're 2 years in and you find out that you don't want to be with that person anymore, end it. You're too young to be with somebody that's not going to make you feel like the best that you can be.
I would just say she took mostly what I was going to say. Just,
you let me talk first.
So. But, yeah, because you like to talk.
Whatever.
This is real life couple bickering audience that we're witnessing live on this podcast.
I would just say just have fun with whatever you're doing. Just because, I mean, whatever happens is going to happen. Just like, because I'm like the guy, go with the flow kind of guy. So, if it's going to happen now, it's going to happen now. But, I mean, if you're not having fun, I mean, you can't really know if that person is right for you because you're kind of just going through the motions. I'll just, yeah, that's all I have to say.
I think that's great advice from both of you. It's something that I'll definitely apply to my own life. And the listeners who are in the same situation as me can apply it to their own. So thank you so much for being on the podcast, guys. If the listeners have any more questions for you guys, whether about your relationship or whatever else we've talked about on this podcast, where can they reach you?
Where can they reach us? Like email or?
Sure. Social media is usually what people give out.
Look us up on Facebook.
I mean, yeah, you can friend me on Facebook. Message me. My Instagram is kind of cheesy, but it's Aggie Kels, like AggieKels. It's private, but I guess if you message me and let me know you want to follow me, I'll let you follow me.
Great.
I'm fun. I'm nice, I promise. Sometimes. My kids wouldn't say that I'm nice, but I'm a nice person.
I would say Facebook for me.
Yeah.
You can either add me or shoot me a message.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. All right.
We
well,
love to talk, so.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for being on this podcast. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode. I will talk to you next week.